Welcome to Insight, the insurance news podcast hosted by me, Andrew Sawcox. In this week's edition of Insight, we're sponsored by the letter S. Yes, Strata is suffering under the spotlight. Steadfast steal the show at their serial celebration. And the surveyed sentiment on this stymied introduction is a short sentence rhyming with hit. Sick Strata Hicks rollicks slick dipsticks with picks and sticks over stupidly stupendous Strata commissions. Some special stalwarts, the sixes and sevens after ASIC shove a sizable insurer over unfair contract stipulations. And with 66 stuttering failed attempts for me to get this one right, we saw Steadfast sitting in a shoe shine shop. Where she shines, she sits. And where she sits, she shines. Woo. Hello, everyone. This insufferable episode, I'm joined by senior journalist Bernice Han, editor John Deeks, deputy editor Wendy Pugh, and chairman Terry McMullen. Good morning, John.
Morning.
What word beginning with S would sum up your week?
Oh, I'd probably go for spectacular, having watched the fireworks over the Brisbane River at the Steadfast convention.
Very nice. Hello, Bernice.
Hi, Andrew.
Same question for you. A word starting with S?
Super.
Oh, I think you could do better than that. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Andrew.
I think it's probably too difficult to ask you on your sheathed in strata stories. Have you got one for me, though?
I was going to say serene.
Oh, very nice. And hello, Terry.
Hello, Andrew.
I bet I can guess your word beginning with S.
No, I don't have a word. I'm just suffering sullenly in silence.
So, Wendy, Strata commissions are back under the spotlight. What sparked the latest scrutiny and where could it lead?
Well, the ABC looked into the practices of a New South Wales strata management firm called NetStrata, which also owns a strata broking company. And it reported that apartment owners were being charged brokerage fees as high as three times the typical rate. And there was a lack of transparency around the split between the premium and the fee. So that triggered a lot of other criticism around arrangements in strata, where you've often got two intermediaries. So you've got the strata manager and the broker, and remuneration arrangements and how they're shared are often not very clear to the owners. So the industry body, Strata Community Association, has responded to up its efforts to improve disclosure and ensure better practices. But the consumer side has been campaigning on this issue for some time, and you know it's doubling down on its calls for action from regulators, including ASIC and the ACCC.
The practices the ABC outline pass the pub test, Terry?
No, I wouldn't pass any pub test in any pub centred on a high density area, that's for sure. Look, we can see the Strata Agents Association pushing for more transparency, which is good and it is step one, but it's not going to make the critics go away, I don't think, because the real issue is the mechanism that has evolved between the strata manager and the insurance broker, and that's what has to be addressed. If I may be permitted a small but neat segue, Andrew, not an ad, a segue on the subject of strata insurance, and that is the industry's views on just this sort of strata-related issue will be under examination at the inaugural Insurance News half-day seminar in Sydney.
Nice segue. Well, following that unauthorised commercial break, we now return you to the scheduled program. There was a significant announcement last week, Bernice, as insurers committed to take into account bushfire risk reduction when settling premiums.
Yeah, so Suncorp and NRMA Insurance say they will be offering premium discounts to home policyholders who use this app called the Bushfire Resilience Rating Home. So our listeners may recall a story from last October about this app. It's a world first bushfire mitigation app, and it's funded by the federal government. So it basically provides households with a customized action plan specific to their individual property and local risk. So to qualify for the discounts, policyholders must get a bushfire resilience rating certification of 3 stars or more from the app. And it's significant because the industry has been saying mitigation is important. And so now we have Suncorp and NRMA, two of the biggest home insurers, backing up the mitigation message. And households, especially ones in high-risk areas, are struggling with rising insurance costs. We know that from the CPI data. So this discount, I guess, would be very much welcomed.
Could this be the start of something bigger, John?
Yeah, I reckon so. Insurers are pretty quick to charge for increased risks, so it should work the other way around as well. I think this is a great initiative that enables homeowners to carry out some pretty basic improvements and be rewarded for them. But it did get me wondering about other examples that could also work. What about a premium reduction if you can prove that you've had all your flexi hoses checked or replaced, or, I don't know, your gutters and storm drains cleared? There are clearly things that homeowners can do relatively cheaply that should reduce the chances of them making an insurance claim. And as Bernice says, with home premiums going up at the rate they are, any premium reduction is going to be very welcome.
Well, AFCA continues to work through a backlog of COVID BI disputes, Wendy. Which way are the latest rulings going?
Well, they're still going in favour of the insurers. So in recent decisions, policyholders have tried to argue a direct causal link between local outbreaks near their premises and the government statewide or regional lockdowns. And they're pointing to issues they say weren't fully considered in the industry test case in the federal and the full court appeal. But AFCA is still having none of that. You know, it's ruling that the causal link isn't there and the lockdown orders were general in nature and insurers are right to decline the claims. So the policyholders either have to accept that or potentially they could still look at other legal action. And there are separately some class actions still on foot that may move ahead.
Can you believe we're still talking about this issue 4 years on, Terry, with potential class actions still to come?
Yeah, COVID and business interruption. Yeah, memories. AFCA should be an expert on everything COVID-esque by now. It's a shame that all this is dragging on, and it probably will for years in various forms, but that's how the law works. If insurance worked like that, we'd have problems. I think most of us have embraced the lessons from the COVID lockdowns and all that, and we mere mortals have swallowed the antiseptic and shone a powerful light inside, and we've moved on, Andrew. So it's sort of a bit of an anomaly, really.
Well, ASIC took an insurer to court over unfair contract terms, Bernice, but the insurer came out on top.
Yeah, the insurer we're talking about here is Auto & General. So they have this notification clause requiring policyholders to notify them of any changes to their home and contents. So ASIC is saying that that's unfair. So this clause is found in some 1.3 million contracts that were issued between April 2021 and May last year. I think I have to read out the clause here. It reads says, tell us if anything changes while you're insured with us. So ASIC says it's unfair because it imposes an unclear obligation on the policyholder. So what is anything ASIC is saying? You know, so it basically indicates, you know, the insurer has a broader right to refuse claims and may mislead the policyholder. But the federal court doesn't really see it that way. It says the clause doesn't create a significant imbalance between the insurer and policyholders. I mean, the unilateral duty to disclose any changes, the court says, is a reflection of the type of contract that is being entered into. And it agrees with the insurer that the notification clause was necessary to protect its ability to decide the risk it wants to underwrite. And as the court sees it, the insurer has a legitimate interest, and that legitimate interest includes its ability to choose the risk it wants to insure. Yeah.
Is this a significant ruling, John?
It could well be. I did see some commentary from a law firm saying that it is arguable that the practical outcome of this decision is to neutralize entirely the UTC regime for insurance contracts. I don't know if that's overstating it, but certainly other insurers will likely have similar terms in their policies and will be breathing a sigh of relief to see which way the federal court went on this one. Yeah, I mean, you can see what ASIC was saying, that tell us if anything changes about your home or contents. It's pretty broad and, you know, could include things like, well, I've just been shopping. But yeah, the court sort of took a more practical approach and said, you know, it's not supposed to be interpreted completely literally. So yeah, what this means for other potential unfair contract terms in insurance contracts, I don't know. And the other thing we don't know is whether ASIC will appeal this one. So it might not be over yet.
Well, finally, sticking with you, John, you led an insurance news contingent, which had just returned from the annual Steadfast Convention. How was it?
Yeah, really good. So they say this is the biggest gathering of general insurance professionals in Australia, and it certainly felt like it. They say it was a record breaker this year with more than 2,000 people there. Kicked off with a welcome event down by the Brisbane River and spectacular fireworks, and then into the convention. They had broker-only sessions, speakers, including inspirational sporting leaders and Patrick Tiernan, the chief of markets from Lloyds, some really great speakers. And then it all wrapped up with a disco-themed gala dinner last night, which we didn't attend, but looking at the pictures on LinkedIn, it looks like everyone had a fantastic time. I'm sure they raised many thousands for charity as well, as they always do. So yeah, that's it for another Steadfast.
Which was your favourite speaker?
Oh, definitely Patrick Tiernan from Lloyds.
Fair enough. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Insight podcast by Insurance News. Thank you once again to our panel, Bernice Han, Wendy Pugh, John Deeks, and Terry McMullen. Enjoy your week, and thank you all for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at editor@insurancenews.com.au. We value your input. You can read all these stories and many others at your leisure at insurancenews.com.au. You can subscribe to the Insight podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, and all your favorite podcast platforms now. We look forward to catching up again next week.